Elephate in the Room, Elephate's weekly podcast. I'm your host, Derek Caraview, and entering the room today is Dominic Woodman, who works at Distilled, runs Tefl Search, and blogs at domwoodman.com. Despite the many technical problems, we do manage to learn his favorite sandwich, whether he has fallen asleep during a meeting, and which kind of woodman he would be. It was a pretty fun episode. He even asked me some of the have you ever questions, which almost made it worth the 47 hours it took me to edit this into something listenable. Be warned, the audio is not great for chunks of time, especially on Dominic's end. It's still worth listening, so find yourself somewhere comfortable to be. Grab a beverage, sit back, relax, and enjoy Elephate in the Room with Derek and Dom. Dominic Woodman, could you explain to our audience who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Dominic. I'm a senior consultant at Distilled. We're a full-service digital marketing agency. I've been there now for about 3.5 years. Before that, I ran a job site called, and still do run a job site called Tefl Search, which is a job site who want to teach English abroad. And it's kind of how I got into the whole internet marketing thing. And that's basically what I do. On my day-to-day stuff, I do a lot more data analysis, or certainly recently it's been a lot of coding. But I really run the sort of gamut of everything from sort of like paid campaigns to SEO stuff. So
my first question for you, it is a Friday when we're recording this podcast. So ye oot the neat like.
Oh boy, is this pig Latin? I don't speak pig Latin.
No, that was... I'm very disappointed right now. That was some slang that I had gotten for Durham. I was asking if you were going out tonight.
See, this is the thing. I was a student at Durham, so they do their best to not blend into anything at all. And there's almost like there's like little walls at Durham where the locals and the students, they just go to different bars. And I revisited recently for like a 10-year reunion. It's terrifying that it's a 10-year reunion, but I revisited. And all of a sudden realized that I was on like the other side of that line, and that all of like the places that we previously went to were like student places, and obviously I was not a student now. It's a strange experience, kind of like going back to the same place, but all of it has now kind of inverted.
All right, well, I guess I won't throw any more, you know, Geordie slang at you.
You know more than I do. I mean, the fact that you've done actual research on this, like that's already more knowledgeable.
In three words, how would you describe your most significant challenge this week?
My most significant challenge this week? Okay, right, let's go. On the small scale challenge, in three words. What's a good thing? Complicated slow dashboarding. I would also accept upside down peanut butter.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to inquire a little bit further on that one. So what was the challenge that involved upside down peanut butter?
I mean, the challenge was mostly trying to get the peanut butter back into the jar, having turned it upside down, while saving what was, frankly, some quite high quality peanut butter. I don't know where you fall on the scale. Like, if you're putting on toast, what do you put on toast? Are you a peanut butter man? Like, you're having toast in the morning. What goes on there?
Definitely. I'm a huge fan of peanut butter. I would do either peanut butter if I was just doing just kind of the toast. I mean, it depends on the day, but peanut butter or possibly butter.
I mean, it is. And would you go like, are you going like an American peanut butter, like a Jif here, or are you going for a more sort of traditional peanut butter, like a more natural peanut butter with lots of peanuts in? As someone who really enjoys his peanut butter, this is a really important detail.
The one thing that I found when I, especially because I've been living in Poland for 14 years, when I first got here, there was nothing here that was anywhere remotely close to an American peanut butter that I could find. So every care package I got from the States contained at least one jar of Jif peanut butter, because Jif is my favorite. Occasionally I would get other things and I would be fine, because obviously it's been a long time. And now I can find an American style peanut butter here in Poland. It's not exactly what you would want, but it's better than the stuff that I used to find. So I don't go in for all the fancy. I just give me a nice sugar laden, fat laden peanut butter from the States, and I'm a happy man.
You don't know what you're missing, man. That fancy smashy peanut butter. That's the best thing in the world. It's like, it's one of those things that once you become a snob about it, all of a sudden you don't realize how you ever managed.
Because I just remember when I was younger, I had an uncle who would go like get that health food store peanut butter, where the oil would pool up at the top and you had to mix it up, and it was just it really seemed like a bird chewed up peanuts and spit it into a jar for me to eat later like a baby bird, and I wanted no part of that, my friend. So maybe one day I will try a fancy schmancy one, but in the meantime, give me my sweet, that's my youth right there.
I mean, I know what you mean. It's 50-50. It's 50-50. For me, the oil is the sign that you know it's good.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I like sugar. What can I say? Let's move on to our next question here, which would be, what is your favorite sandwich and why?
Controversially, I would say the best way to make a sandwich. Some of my coworkers would question that this is not a sandwich, but I would say that it is bread with things in the middle. You get like a big, freshly baked, like white loaf. You slice that bad boy in half. You then dig out the insides, right? So you want the hard crust, but you don't actually want that much bread on the inside. Then you take a bunch of other delicious things. I'm just going to talk to the most recent one that I had. It was like a Mexican-themed taco inside. You know, it was a lot of chicken. It was a lot of like good sort of like barbecue-style spice. Some sour cream, some avocado. Maybe throw in like a lot of salsa in there. Then you throw all of that inside the sandwich and you eat what is basically an entire meal in bread. It's a good like 2-hour diversion on the weekend, but it's worth every second.
That sounds good. I like the cut of your jib, sir. Would you rather live in the ocean or on the moon?
Are there other people here? Like, give me some more context here. Are there other people? Am I by myself? Do I have like all the resources to live how I would like?
So let's say there is a human settlement at the bottom of the ocean, and there is a human settlement on the moon. You are able to get quality peanut butter in both of those locations, but one you are underneath the water on the earth, and the other one you can see the earth from your window.
See, I think neither of them sound particularly great. I think I would pick under the water, under the premise that maybe like I could escape later on and return to the surface.
Okay.
I think that would be I feel like if we're a civilization that lives under the water, there's maybe a decent chance we could make it back to land, and then I could live my ordinary life rather than if, you know, we're in space, we might just be stranded there. Like, look, gravity's cool, but like the moon is boring, man. You couldn't spend more than 5 minutes on the moon. You do the jumping thing and you'd be like, ooh, no gravity. And then that novelty would immediately wear off and you'd be like, there is nothing to do here. That would be it. I imagine the astronauts went to the moon and probably got bored. Like, once the overwhelming awe, like, shocked in. Because they were on the moon like 20 minutes, right?
Something like that.
Is it something like that? You know, first 5 minutes, absolute awe and wonder. You know, second 5 minutes, stick out a flag. That's pretty cool. Last 10 minutes, you're probably bored.
Yeah, they were just, jumping around and playing golf. So maybe it wasn't that bad. But okay, so we have your answer, bottom of the ocean. Now, this next question, I saw that you have a degree in math. So my question for you is, in a shop, the cost of 4 shirts, 4 pairs of trousers, and 2 hats is $560. Now, the cost of 9 shirts, 9 pairs of trousers, and 6 hats is $1,290. What's the total cost of 1 shirt, 1 pair of trousers, and 1 hat.
Okay, so I didn't hear most of the question, but I know that plausibly it is something to do with trousers and hats in a store where both of them cost money, and I'm being asked what is the cost of both of them together. Okay, so I'm going to say that at any reasonable establishment, you know, you go bottom end, let's say this is a Primark. I'm looking to spend about £30. I realize that's not the question you asked. But I missed a good chunk of it.
So tried to give you the word problem, and unfortunately we're having some technical difficulties today. Strangely enough, you were not that far off the mark. The answer was $150. Dom Woodman, do you feel left out of those what is your porn name generators?
Could my porn star have a better name? Yeah, plausibly. Dom's not very good, though.
You already have a porn star name.
Right, Dominic's not great, though.
Maybe not Dominic, but, you know, Dom Woodman.
I think if I was going to pick, it'd be like Brad Wood.
Brad Wood.
Or Lance Wood.
It's a little bit repetitive, but, you know, that's...
But I'd just be Woodward.
What's a recent album that you would recommend?
Ooh, I would recommend the latest album by Lake Street Dive, which are a really cool, sort of like, jazz blues sort of rock band with a phenomenal lead singer. It's called Free Yourself Up. That's absolutely my music plug for the day.
I'll have to check that out. If you weren't doing what you're doing, what would you be doing?
Assuming I'm not unemployed, I might plausibly be doing something music related. I might be doing something guitar related. Discover and map out hiking trails and like beautiful mountain landscapes. I think that would be a fun alternate career route that I never tried.
Well, that certainly sounds exciting and woodsy. Thank you very much for that. Let's go back to what it is that you actually do now. I know your main job is at Distilled. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how did you end up at this particular place?
So I ended up at Distilled. So I started Temple Search at this point, probably 2 years before I joined Distilled. At that point, I had done literally nothing to do with web. I hadn't done anything practical on the computer other than play games since high school. I'd really not touched any of it, and I came back from traveling around, having needed a bit of a break for other long and involved life reasons. I came back and was like, I don't want to go, you know, rejoin a large company or, you know, go join like a big four consulting company like Deloitte or something. I would rather, I'm going to try and start my own thing. And I made up a website and I got going with that. And the programming thing was like a little bit, maybe not necessarily easier, but it has a very short feedback loop, right? You get it wrong and it immediately tells you that it's wrong. So I was able to kind of learn all of that and build the website. But when we got to the marketing part of it, it was, the loop on that is a lot longer. Particularly if, as I was trying to do my job, like trying to do well in search. And it wasn't like, oh, you do something and then you discover it's wrong. It's, you know, you spend 5 months and you realize nothing has happened. I end up then going and just kind of trying to figure this out and doing the same thing that many people do before they hop into this, which is I read all the blog posts, I watch some Whiteboard Fridays. And eventually my job site is earning me a decent amount of money, but not enough to live in London. Like, it's enough to live back home, but it's not enough to live in London. And so I decided, okay, great, I'm going to go apply this thing, and I'm going to move up, and I'm going to learn more about marketing. And I literally randomly picked a job. It was the job at Distilled. I applied for a senior consultant position, which is what I am now. And they said, no, we will give you the analyst job. And I, good place, so I stuck around.
So it seems like a lot of the people I talked to, you fell into SEO kind of on accident.
Yeah, I mean, it was attempting to like market my own website. The reason that a lot of people bump into SEO by accident is because it sounds like free traffic, right? When you're young, the thing that you have is time. You have time, you don't have money. And so SEO, where it's kind of like, well, what you're going to put in is you're going to put in time. You're trying to build these links or write this content or do all these things. And you're going to get back traffic, which you can turn into money. But what you can't do, at least initially, or particularly if you're scared of that investment, is go and spend a bunch of PPC money, you know, and attempt to arbitrage on something. So I think, yeah, particularly when you're younger, a lot of people just gravitate towards what is free or where the cost is initially time. And certainly in both kind of SEO or, you know, all the kind of your sort of large social media things that people poke at it, we were successful on Facebook or, you know, they got a following on Instagram and managed to turn to that something. Again, the cost of most of these things was time rather than money. So I think it's quite an easy thing to sort of accidentally fall into.
And so we're going to talk a little bit later about that initial website that you did in just a moment. But before we get there, we're going to go on to our second round, which is a game of Have You Ever? Now, if you would like to play the drinking game at home, of course you may.
I'm ready to go. I've drunk most of my water already, though.
Well, you'll have to go find yourself a beer. Have you ever written a poem or a song for someone else?
No, I've written one about someone else, but I've never written one for someone else. Is this an alternating thing? Do I now throw this back to you?
Nobody ever has, but you can.
Okay. Have you ever had a terrible podcast guest?
No. So far, everybody has been really good. I've only had about maybe 25 people on the show so far, and I've met a lot of great people.
Fair enough. That's an incredibly diplomatic answer. For those of you who are on the video call, he just sort of signed someone's name.
Now, this person that you... Now, was it a poem or a song that you wrote?
It was a song that I wrote about someone. I am not a poet.
So now this song, has this person heard...
No, they have not heard this song. It's also not obvious. Like, it wouldn't be immediately obvious. It would be about them.
Okay.
It's sort of like, metaphor and that sort of thing. Relatively young and poor songwriter. I thought it was clever at the time.
Okay. Well, I'll track that down. That'll be the new theme to the show. That's all right. Yeah. Have you ever fallen asleep in a meeting?
Yes. Well, okay. So not a meeting, but training. At my the first job that I did, I would get this big old commute up to London. So I was living back home in Ipswich, mm-hmm. and the time from... you know, my house door in Ipswich to my workplace was about 3 hours. And so, yeah, it was like a 6 hour round commute. It was really brutal. And I basically, you know, healthily dealt. This basically meant that I have no spare time. And sort of the healthy way I decided to deal with this was I decided to just pretend like I had free time. And it meant that I would have like 2-3 hours in the week. And then I would collapse on the weekend. I'd play havoc on my body. And it meant that when to begin with, we were showing up for these big training sessions. You know, they'd be like, I'm not in the boardroom. And they would start doing it. I would just fall asleep. In a room of like 11 people, and I would, you know, you do the thing, you jerk awake, and I would jerk awake, and then immediately listen to the last thing they said, try and think of a question, and ask a question on it, as if to pretend I was still listening and engaging, and, you know, when I was clearly just sleeping. I was so tired.
So hopefully none of your previous employers are listening to the show.
Okay, so my throwback to you. Have you ever got, like, before you, I'm assuming, at this point, do you know Polish?
No, not nearly as well as I should.
Okay, so I was going to say, have you ever been so drunk that you pretended or you thought you could speak Polish and just kind of imagined that you could have just sort of went off on one?
No, I have tried to bluff a little bit more because unfortunately, Polish is a notoriously difficult language. I know a lot of vocabulary, but I don't know a lot of grammar. And so I think I've tried to make it sound like I know more what I'm saying at, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Or 5 o'clock in the morning at a bar. So kinda, yeah.
I mean, I feel like grammar is overrated anyway. Like, no one needs grammar. That's really an unnecessary addition to language. You can just get by just saying the words.
It's, you know, the thing is, I think with English speakers is that we're relatively used to hearing other people speak our language as a second or a third language, or even just kind of learning some basics to get by if they're on holiday or whatever. But people, at least especially when I first got here, older people in Poland were not used to hearing foreigners speak their language. And so if you're a little bit off, they don't have the wherewithal to understand what the hell you're trying to say. So it can be a little frustrating on both ends that way. It's not quite nearly as bad now, because I live in a city that's basically a student town. There's like 15, 16 universities here. So there's a lot of young people, a lot of people speak English, and even some of the older people kind of recognize a bit, but still a lot of pointing and grunting.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing, right, where particularly if you're of that older generation, you don't have to. It's kind of like you've gotten past your entire life, and then someone suddenly shows up and requires you to speak the other language, and you're like, no, I really don't think I'm going to do that anymore. I ran out of patience about 40 years ago.
You know, I would speak to them in Polish, but it just wasn't perfect Polish, and they're not used to not hearing perfect Polish. So there was a time when I tried to order 2 bread rolls and the woman brought me apples. So that's just, I guess I'm eating apples
exactly
for breakfast.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm too embarrassed to say this, so I'm just like, this is exactly what I wanted.
Thank you, madam.
Could I have 3 more?
Have you ever walked out of a movie because it was so bad?
No, I probably should have done, but I haven't. We went to see the premiere. I don't know why. I don't like the Da Vinci Code, but for whatever reason, when I was 16, something like that, we went, well, whenever the first Da Vinci Code movie came out, we went to go see that for the premiere of it. Yeah, it baffles me. It was a terrible movie. It was kind of like the book, where I was just kind of like, no, this is really not great. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a bad movie in the sense that, like, Sharknado was a bad movie, but it's enjoyable. Like, this was just bad, and, like, this movie is not very well done.
Yeah, that was, I hated that book, and I can't remember if we saw the whole, because I think my wife wanted to see it. So I saw at least part of it, and just, I don't know what Tom Hanks was doing with any of that.
I mean, honestly, right, like, it feels like he had a couple kids to put through college, right? Or he was just sort of like, you know, he was like, I need an extra 3 stories on this house, so we'll do a Dan Brown one. I mean, it's Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, why not? He's got a ton of goodwill to burn.
Exactly. The dude is so lovable that you're like, oh, Tom Hanks, I don't really care. You had a bit of a miss there, but oh, who cares?
We don't blame you, Tom.
Exactly. No one's blaming you, Tom. We think you're great. Okay, have you ever taken part in an eating contest?
Probably. I'm trying to think if I've been... now I have to think about it. I want to say yes, but I can't remember why. Something I probably did when I was in college, just because we did goofy things.
See, I missed, that's why I asked, because I missed out on that. I never did the eating thing. And now I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm not sure I want to do the eating thing.
Yeah, that's not a good idea ever, because I think I don't eat quickly, so I don't know if I've ever, I'm sure I have, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Have you ever been mistaken for an employee in a shop?
No, but I have an equally bad story. Maybe the second ever gig that I played in London, I was playing with a jazz singer at the time, and we went to a very nice place called Number 5 Cavendish Square. And it was some sort of events launch, and she knew someone, so we were doing the music for this events launch. And we, you know, we sit down, we come in, and it's a very, very nice place. And I had sort of gone in with, like, in black with, like, a nice sort of, like, white waistcoat. And she was in, like, a black evening gown. And we sit in, I, you know, put my stuff away, they're getting everything set up. And immediately people start trying to give me their coats. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I'm like, I'm playing an instrument here. I'm like the band. I'm not like a random waiter. And then one of the actual waiters walks out, and of course their house and uniform is exactly the same thing as I'm wearing. I don't know if everyone, like, when they're watching us play, is just like, wow, I guess they just really lucked out that one of the waiters happened to have a guitar and play with the singer.
Yeah, the other, the original guitarist was stuck on the tube, so, you know, we recruited a random waiter to come play a little guitar.
Exactly, for us, right? The original guitarist, he got kind of ill, you know, got a little bit sick. So we just went around to our the waiters and was like, who is best with this? Like, you don't have to be, like, the singer's very good, so, you know, she'll just sing over you, so you just have to be tolerable. that's really what we're going for here.
Well, I bet that was a fun gig to play.
At least after the gig, no one tried to hand me that coat anymore.
Well, that's good. That's good. At least they were paying that much attention. That's not always a guarantee.
Okay, and so then one last one to you. Have you ever bought something, aside from, like, a house or a car or, you know, like, a big obvious life purchase? That was over like £5,000.
Have I ever bought something over £5,000 that was not a car or a house? No.
Ooh.
No, I have not.
No, sort of like shamefully expensive thing that just got purchased once and then sits in the back forever.
No. I'm trying to think. Now you said, no, I don't think so. Nothing like that. So I'm fortunate. I have the hobby that it's a bit more than a hobby, but less than a profession. I actually get paid for, so I don't have to pay a lot of things out. So no, the most expensive thing I bought, other than the big thing, like the suit that I bought for my wedding, I think was maybe the most expensive thing I've ever bought. It was like 3,000 zloty, which would have been about £500.
I mean, that's still like, with that wedding markup, that's still good going.
Exactly, yeah.
They pressed a button. Yeah.
They saw the fish hook. Anyway. After we're done here, I'll think of something, but that's, I can't think of anything. My final question for you is, have you ever worked abroad?
I haven't worked abroad. No, I've traveled abroad. Okay, so I'm assuming that we're not counting like my random visits to our US offices to work and speaking at conferences. No, I have never worked abroad. I've been abroad and done some work.
Ah, uh-huh. Okay.
Possibly times when I shouldn't have done. But no, I've never actually, like, you know, lived in another country and kind of consistently worked there.
Uh-huh. You're not going to get a final turn because we're going to go right into the next thing I wanted to talk about here, which is your website, the TEFL Search website. This is a thing that I'm sure at one point or another, I must have looked at in the past because I did teach English here when I first moved to Poland, and I'm sure wandered around. How did you get interested in this particular subject for the website?
So this was interesting enough because, like, I'd met a bunch of people traveling around who were doing it, right? It's kind of unavoidable. And one of the things that came up a bunch of times was, like, a lot of the job sites were really, really low quality. And I was at this point vaguely looking for something to do and something to pick up, and found myself going, okay, the whole website thing sounds appealing, right? Because of the whole thing I talked about previously, money, not time. Sorry, other way around, time, not money. And so I was like, okay, let me take a look at these websites. And the website was genuinely, like, the main websites in the industry were completely dog-awful, you know? They were sort of the product of, like, initial 1990s first sort of set of my first website sort of thing. And I was like, oh, great. Like, I've never done this before, but, like, I'm a smart person. I can build something here, and it doesn't need to be £1 million website. I only need to hit this for six on the first go. I can just do an okay job, and I'm still way better than what's. So honestly, yeah, the industry kind of got picked because I was like, the bar here feels pretty low. Like, that was the main thing.
So that's interesting. So now that you never actually taught abroad, you saw a hole and then you decided to fill it. So how did you come across these web? I mean, did you have like a good friend who was doing it, or did you have people who were just talking about it? How would you come across these terrible websites if it wasn't something you were specifically looking to do yourself?
So that was because I, you know, met these people who told me they were bad. I met people traveling around, you know, had a friend who'd looked at a bunch of them and were like, yeah, we think this is a terrible website. And I was like, let me take a look. And I was like, oh yeah, this is terrible. And of course, then my initial thing was to go, I don't know how to build a website. Can I just put someone off the shelf and buy it? And so I contacted a bunch of other people who ran small job boards at the time. Just like, hey, I'm going to get on a different niche. You know, how much did it cost you to kind of get yours going? And emailed a bunch of dev agencies, and for an off the, you know, for the full, like, custom one, the couple ones that they've done, they were like, this cost us like $60,000. It was like, okay, don't have $60,000. That's absolutely off the table. And then even when I talked to agencies, like, what about a template one? They were like, $10,000. Which, you know, now sitting on the other side of it, I'm like, that's $10,000 for a website? That's a steal. You're not getting a great website for $10,000. But at the time, I did not have $10,000. Again, I had, you know, time, not money. So I was like, oh, I bet I can learn how to do this.
That's pretty cool. And it's still there. How much time do you spend on this website these days?
At this point, it's definitely less of my time. It could use more of my time. Like, there's definitely a bunch of things that I could do to improve it and workshop it. And it's not received so much love as of late. But I have a couple other projects which I'm still sort of prioritizing over that. So yeah, it's just at this point, it's a case of juggling attention. So it doesn't, at this point, it doesn't take a huge amount of my time.
Thanks for sharing with me about that. And we're going to move on to our third and final round, the Elephate Lightning Round.
Okay.
You're going to be given two choices. If you would like to expand on that, of course you may. Are you ready?
Fire away.
Okay. The better Durham alum, Roger Moore or George Lazenby?
Roger Moore, every step of the way.
All right, because I'm not saying who's the better Bond, but just the better Durham alum. Fish and chips or burger and fries?
But it's definitely going to be the burger one. I'm actually not a big fish and chips person. Fish shop chips are wonderful. They're the greatest of chips. But like battered fish, I could take it or leave it. It's a bit meh.
Fair enough. Burgers and fries better. I would agree. So from Durham, Binchester Roman Fort or the Living Museum of the North?
Okay, I think I need two places. I don't know what either of them were.
So we'll skip on to the next one. A traveler or a homebody?
Traveler.
Okay. Dominic West or Dom DeLuise?
Never heard of the second one. So I'm thinking Dominic West, and he's a fine actor.
You don't know who Dom DeLuise is? Oh, okay. Interesting. He was basically Burt Reynolds' sidekick in the 70s. He was a comedian kind of guy. So if you saw any of Burt Reynolds' 70s output, you've probably seen Dom DeLuise. So chubby guy with a beard.
My comedy references and chops are clearly not that great.
Moving on. Hardwood floors or carpeting?
Hardwood floors, I think. They make a lot of noise, but easy to clean. And my carpets are so gross right now that physical of those two carpets.
Okay. Now, Mr. Woodman, would you rather be a carpenter or a lumberjack?
I mean, I'm cleaning my carpet to make these hardwood flooring that I need. Because I can't afford it. That's expensive. So if I'm a carpenter, like that, you know, that checks one of these boxes.
A crime story or a horror story?
Ooh, definitely crime story. You give me that mystery.
Are you reading anything currently?
I'm reading Bruce Springsteen's autobiography, which is more flowery than you would expect. Like, the man writes more like the songs than he writes. I guess he writes a little bit. Like, he's quite a lot of poet just in the average book, which surprised me. I guess he probably shouldn't have done, considering that he's a very well-known songwriter, but yeah, it did.
I haven't picked that up yet. John Sykes or Adrian Vandenberg?
Boy, I'm showing my lack of pop culture. I don't know who either of those people are. Adrian Vandenberg, the guy has a great last name.
So they were both, at one point or another, guitar players for Whitesnake.
Oh my God.
And I noticed in your Twitter feed that you mentioned him at...
God, because Vandenberg is a band, I'm assuming that Vandenberg band is Adrian Vandenberg using his name as the band's name.
Yeah, he was originally in a band called Vandenberg, and then he played guitar with Whitesnake through the late 80s, and then I think early 90s. And John Sykes actually played guitar on the album, but Adrian Vandenberg was in the videos.
Damn, there you go.
And I noticed that was, I think, from 2007 or something, but I throw the old Whitesnake guitar player at you anyway. Oxford comma, yes or no?
Yes, I like the Oxford comma.
Yeah, I was not a big believer for a long time, but I am now. All right, so the better Distiller song, Drain the Blood or The Hunger?
Okay, so I just heard you say Drain the Blood. I'm not sure what I'm picking between here, so I guess I'm going to say Blade 2.
Okay, so there's a band called The Distillers. You work for Distilled. Either their song Drain the Blood or their song The Hunger.
Shoot, I still didn't hear it. I mean, Drain the Blood sounded pretty great. I think we'll pick that one.
All right, sounds good. And then our final question in the Elephant Lightning Round. Which is the better distilled beverage, rum or tequila?
Okay. I didn't hear what the options were, so I'm going to say whiskey.
The options were rum or tequila.
Oh, okay. In that case, I'll pick rum. Nothing good happens with tequila.
That is the honest truth right there. Hey, so thank you very much. Sorry for the technical issues here. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, not really. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Dom_Woodman. I have a website. I write on very often, but plausibly, domwoodman.com.
Thank you very much, Dom, for taking the time. I really do appreciate it. Thank you, and goodbye.
Yeah, thanks for the time. If you're in London, hit us up, and we'll talk properly rather than being constantly disconnected over an audio feed.
That sounds perfect. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Elephate in the Room, hosted by Derek Caraview. Produced by Christian A. Dumay. Music by Giant Monsters on the Horizon. This podcast is a part of Elephate, the 2018 European Search Awards winner for Best Small SEO Agency. Follow Elephate on Twitter at ElephateSEO and on Facebook at Elephate. Thanks for joining us and see you next time.